Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. You might not have known who Shostakovich was until you were all grown up, but a group of talented young musicians with the South Dakota Symphony Youth Orchestra most certainly know. And if you still don't know who Shostakovich is, that's all right as well. Stay tuned. Chad Hutchinson is the newly appointed music director of the South Dakota Symphony Youth Orchestra. This weekend, he leads a busload of classical music-loving teenagers in a symphonic tour of Minneapolis. He's taking time out of those preparations to join us today to talk about these rather remarkable kiddos. Chad Hutchinson, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Hi, how are you?
I am just fine. So this is your first year with the Youth Orchestra. Tell me a little bit about the program and your vision for it moving forward.
Sure. The South Dakota Youth Orchestra program is under the umbrella of the South Dakota Symphony, and we offer four different youth orchestras, starting with students as young as third grade all the way through seniors in high school. The younger groups are strings only, and then once we move into about middle school age, students, then it becomes full orchestra. So the group that Jeff Paul does, Philharmonia group, is full orchestra, and then our most advanced group, the youth orchestra, also uses all the winds and brass percussion as well as string.
So you mentioned that when you were a certain age, Shostakovich just sort of blew your mind, which is why I was putting him in my introduction there. Tell me about that experience of first sort of discovering how cool classical music was.
Absolutely. I grew up in small town Iowa, a town of 250 people, and there was no classical music in any way. And so basically, the first time that I was exposed to classical music was when I was in high school. And I spent at the Iowa All-State Festival, and through that experience, I got to be with an orchestra for the first time, and it completely blew my mind. And then from there, moving into college years, I was exposed to more classical music, especially the music of Beethoven and Shostakovich and such. And being a part of that and seeing the energy and the power that the music could have completely turned me on to classical music. I was completely changed from that point forward, and now just want to be able to give that same experience to the students that I'm working with through the SDSYO.
And do you get to see them sort of light up when they first hear a piece that, you know, maybe they've been there and they've enjoyed it, but then there's that moment where they say, oh yeah, this is why I'm here?
Absolutely. It's like watching a light bulb go off within young students' heads. And I remember being in that moment myself, and when I can see that happening with other students, it's something that brings more joy than about anything else in life. It's really great to be able to see them experience Beethoven for the first time, or Mozart, or something along those lines.
So tell me about the upcoming trip to Minneapolis. What's the intent of that, and what are those students going to experience when they're there?
Well, through the Youth Orchestra program, they get a lot of exposure to the amazing musicians we have in the South Dakota Symphony. This trip is just to expose them to other things outside of Sioux Falls and the greater South Dakota area. So we're going up to the Twin Cities. We're spending an entire day, and it's about as culturally packed as we can make it. They're going to get a master class with Mark Russell Smith, who is the orchestra director at the University of Minnesota. He also regularly conducts at the Curtis Institute and does GITSEs, which is the top youth orchestra in the Twin Cities. So they're going to get a master class with him conducting the full orchestra. And then we're going to break off into smaller sections, and students will get master classes with musicians from the Minnesota Orchestra and St. Paul Chamber Orchestra. The violinists will be working with Pam Arnstein, who grew up in Fargo, which I thought was really important for students to be able to connect with somebody that came from a smaller-ish city, so to speak, as Fargo and Sioux Falls are pretty close in size.
Why is that important? Do they not think that they can go on to do music as adults because they're from Sioux Falls? I mean, why would you think that was such an important component to add?
I want students to see what else is out there, and I feel that oftentimes, unfortunately, South Dakota in the arts tends to maybe get a bad rap compared to, let's say, New York State or Illinois or other places of this nature, and I feel that in this way, students can see that they can totally do this. Mm-hmm. Just this past weekend with the Verdi Requiem, Lindsay Amon, who was from Sioux Falls, was singing the mezzo-soprano line, and Louis Oti from Flanders, South Dakota, was singing the baritone, and they both have graced the stage of the Metropolitan Opera. Mm-hmm. And so I want to show students that, yes, you can totally go anywhere you want to. If you have the talent, you can completely make it, and to expose them to really, really high-level musicians.
Was there anything else in that day to Minneapolis you wanted to talk about? I kind of jumped in there when you, when
oh,
you mentioned
okay.
that.
Sure. We're going to the Weissman Art Museum. Oh. I feel that exposing them not only to music but all kinds of other art is very important. So the Weissman Art Museum is on the campus of the University of Minnesota. It's a Gehry architect. It was the architect that does the building, the same one who did Walt Disney Hall in Los Angeles and the New World Symphony building down in Miami, Florida. So they'll get to see that. And then they get to go to a concert that evening of the Minnesota Orchestra, one of the best orchestras in the country. Minnesota Orchestra, ironically enough, next week is performing in Carnegie Hall. So, I mean, to get to see them right before they go to Carnegie Hall is a great experience. And the students will get to do a question and answer session with a couple musicians from the orchestra before the concert as well. So, I mean, I think that we've put together a really great day that I hope that they can really take advantage of and just have a great time in the city.
Talk a little bit about that connection between visual arts and the importance of connecting a musician to a different art form. Why was that significant enough to add in?
I think all great art has steps. And when I think back to the Mona Lisa wasn't painted in one layer. The Mona Lisa has multiple layers underneath it. Mm. And I feel like every great piece of music has that same depth. It's the reason why Beethoven has lasted this many years and Shostakovich and these composers, more so than, say, a composer like Kui. We don't know who Kui is. Mm. He was a Russian composer, lived around the same time as Rimsky-Korsakov, but he's not as well known. And so music that has depth and multiple layers lasts. And great art does the same thing. And I think that there's been a long tradition of art and music together. My favorite artist is Kandinsky, who was abstract expressionalism. And he was great friends with Schoenberg, who was an amazing composer in his own right. So there are lots of connections between the other arts. And obviously not all of the students in the SDSYO are going to go on to become concert pianists or concert violinists. I think exposing them to all different types of art is part of our responsibility as educators and as part of our program.
And you're not afraid to have these kind of conversations and with the layers that we're talking right now. You're not afraid to have those kind of conversations with kids, with middle school and high school students, or even in an appropriate way with smaller children or younger kids. Why is that? Do you think kids are ready to hear about music and art in a multi-layered way?
Absolutely. I think that so oftentimes we try to, quote, dumb things down to kids instead of really bringing out what kids can do. Mm-hmm. And I've always tried to talk in multiple ways with students and to try to get them to think about visual imagery. I oftentimes will stop in rehearsal and say, what does this section sound like? If you were a film producer, how would you create this section? And what characters would be in it, or what type of lighting would be in it. And ironically enough, when they go back to play the piece right after that, it has a completely different feel. And I think that the more that we have them thinking critically and on a deeper level, both emotionally and technically, the better musicians they're going to be and the better contributors to society that they're going to be as a whole.
And now this program is outside the school day. How do you collaborate with the orchestras in the schools in your community to sort of make those connections between a community orchestra, essentially, and a school orchestra?
Sure. We're not trying to take anything away from what's going on in the public schools. And the public school systems around Sioux Falls musically are very strong. Just this past week, I was in four different high schools working with students. And I think that I'm just showing the teachers that I'm here to help in any way that I can. I'm not trying to hurt your program in any way. I'm just trying to add more to your program, as well as offering a different experience for kids if they want to pursue the arts in a different way. Mm. And so getting out into the schools is very important. I started as a high school orchestra director years and years ago, and I love being in the schools and working with kids. I miss the everyday interaction with students that I had as a high school teacher, but I'm so blessed to be in this position now where I can work with students on a regular basis.
Chad Hutchinson is the newly appointed music director of South Dakota Symphony's Youth Orchestra. Thank you for joining us today, Chad.
All right, thank you very much.
The South Dakota Symphony Youth Orchestra's next concert is Sunday, March 6th at 6 p.m. at the Washington Pavilion. The public is welcome. Tickets are available at the Pavilion box office. That's our show for the day. We hope that it served you. I'd like to thank our guests, Mateau Standing High, Barbara Duffy, Marcella Raymond, and Chad Hutchinson. Thanks as well to SDPB's Keely Biltina, Steve Zwemke, and Gina Myrose. Tomorrow on Midday, Tony Harrison is the National Trustee for the South Dakota Fraternal Order of Police. He joins us to discuss the Frontline Special Report, Chasing Heroin. That two-hour special airs tonight at 8 p.m. Central, 7 Mountain. Watch it and join us tomorrow for some South Dakota perspective. We've also got the president of the Carpenters Fund in a conversation about business as a moral enterprise. Meet me at noon Central, 11 Mountain. For SDPB Radio, I am Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.